talking about that girl that I keep on.
Yes, yes. And you know who we're talking about. You right there.
Put it down. Don't throw the missiles in the air.
Thank you.
All right. Happy Thursday and good morning to you.
Morning.
Oh, God, there's a ton of little side pieces here.
I know. I'm looking at them. I'm like, wow.
And this one I have to take. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Ow!
Because my man is in it. Work.
Uh-oh. I don't remember anything about Link. So tell us about Link.
Wait a minute. We got to say good morning.
Oh, hey. Good morning, people. Do you know where you're at? Do you know where you're at?
Tell them where they're at, Ginger.
You are at lunch with Ginger and Corey. Yay.
Wait a minute. Don't I have applause? I have applause. Yay, there we go.
Thank you. We felt so excited this morning.
I'm about to get some Benadryl in the system as soon as
it girl, I would be out. You would not have me for tonight. I would be dead to the world.
That is exactly why I'm taking half of a dose or a drop on the top. They need a warning label on Benadryl.
Benadryl just, like, kills me. You give me that stuff and I'm going to sleep for about 3 days.
Same here.
Like, you know, it makes me a little drowsy. No, it knocks me on my butt. I'm out.
Speaking of crazy bosses, I had a huge, ginormous argument with a boss once about Benadryl. I was sick, and I told her I need to go home. She's like, oh, just get some Benadryl. And I took it, and I said, this is making me sleepy. Oh, no, it's not Benadryl. It's because you're sick. Either way, I need to go home.
Yeah. I always knew if you made me take that, it was just.
But she said, oh, get the non-drowsy formula. It don't matter.
Benadryl is...
There is no such thing as non-drowsy with Benadryl.
No. There's no such thing as non-drowsy Benadryl.
And I was face down on my desk, drooling on top of a legal brief. Ironically enough, I made reference to one. That's exactly what I was doing. Drooling, just ink running. We gotta get this affidavit redone. I'm sorry.
I told you to send me home.
I needed to go home.
Told you should have sent me home.
Their case. I'm sorry, Judge. I cannot read this part after they did this, like, to be a drool stain. And see, there's a lipstick mark here. I'm just. GLaDOS just got you for it. She had you for a minute.
GLaDOS, let me go. I'm going to stab you and I'm going to stab them. I'm going to stab them.
I don't know what you said, but yes, you tell her. All right, while GLaDOS has a hold of our lovely Ginger, we got some more juice on that whole ocean marketing fiasco.
Ooh, what you got?
Okay, so this is from actually In Control released an official statement yesterday. Let me stop being silly. They are the ones who are making the Avenger controller accessory. If you're not familiar with The Avenger, it's the movie that's coming out, you know, with all the characters. You got your Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man. You got, well, of course, Edward Norton didn't come back for the Hulk, but the Hulk will be in it. And you comic book geeks know. Thor, all of them are all together in one movie. All that hotness just ran. Okay, so anyway, they have categorically dismissed third-party contractor Paul Cristoforo and his marketing operation, known alternately, it's coming out as Ocean Distribution or Ocean Marketing. This separation from Mr. Cristoforo extends to all business interests of In Control, its founders, and its officers. Mr. Cristoforo does not and never did own, in whole or in part, a stake in In Control LLC, nor its affiliate companies. Kotkin Enterprises, iControl LLC, following the publication of an email between Mr. Christofos and one of InControl's customers, punctuated by Mr. Cristoforo's acknowledgement of his conduct, InControl immediately proceeded to extricate Mr. Christofos oral access to their
email. They fired him. Oh, yeah.
Yes, and social media accounts, and the process is still ongoing. In the interim, a Gmail address and Twitter account, AdvengerDefender@gmail.com and at AdvengerDefender, respectively, have been set up for press inquiries and customer service needs. You all should have had this before. You could have just taken it away from him. Okay. So David Kotkin, the inventor and founder of Avenger Controller, created the product to help one of his students who had a physical disability. I'm sorry, I am mistaken. This is not the Avenger Controller I'm thinking of. It's something different. Oh, this is not good. This is even worse now that I'm thinking about it. Duh. Okay, so the student wanted to play games the way everyone else could. The Avenger evolved from a homemade solution for a deserving child into an even more sophisticated controller accessory capable of enhancing even the most skilled gamer's performance. This, people that are using this are home slices over at ablegamers.com.
Mm-hmm.
Use a lot of this controller. Not to mention, this just compounds, it makes it look even worse. We will be discussing this tonight, but let me finish telling you what the press release says. It says all existing orders will be honored, and the PS3 Avenger pre-order customers will be extended the same $10 discount that some have already received. To clarify, customers who have already received $10 off their pre-order are not eligible for an additional discount, so don't be trying to sneak up and get yours. InControl agrees with customer Dave and that all of our PS3 early adopters deserve to be rewarded for their trust in the Avenger. InControl would like to publicly apologize to existing and potential customers, as well as the gaming community at large, for allowing Mr. Cristoforo to abuse his power so unforgivably. The Avenger was invented to provide greater accessibility to disabled gamers, and bullying tactics are the last thing that should be associated with this product. Exactly. Okay. Yeah, we're going to have a field day with you tomorrow. This press release is really, really...
I don't mean tonight.
Oh,
tonight.
Yeah, tonight.
Tonight.
Oh, yeah, so they've basically dropped somebody else into this position. Yeah,
hopefully somebody who has a grasp on the English language.
It's a person named Ellie Schwartz, and it's a high school student who's taking over.
Wait, what?
It's a high school student. He's going to be their part-time social media consultant. And he was one of the, they're saying he was one of their earliest super fans. So I understand why they grabbed him. He's younger, so he's more likely to want to tweet and do all those things. Because
mm-hmm.
Those of us who are not in high school get a little bit cantankerous. I'm tired of tweeting. Leave me alone. See ya.
Step away from the tweet.
Yes, so he's more likely to want to tweet, and he's much more comfortable with it. And he's a fan, so he's probably not going to go the... Do you know who I am, son? Routes.
You would hope not. You would hope not. Hopefully he's a very nice gentleman.
Young gentleman.
Yes. Hopefully he has very good manners because he's going to need them.
Yes.
Because people are mean and you know, they're going to scream and yell and he needs to have patience.
Mm-hmm.
And he needs to have, you know, a sense of humor. That has a lot to do with it. If you can get some of these people who are screaming and yelling at you to laugh, it changes their whole tone.
Well, we'll be discussing later if it's at this point, even though they released this, is it too late? Is the damage done? I'm thinking it's done, honestly. But anyway, we'll talk more about this later. Let us move along.
All right.
Ms. Ginger.
Crazy people. Speaking of crazy people, there are a lot of crazy people, and I love all of y'all. Y'all bring me such beautiful stories. Man in China spends $16,000 on a virtual sword for a video game.
Are you serving face? Because I'm serving face at that one.
I'm just shaking my head. Well, I would if my head weren't, like, killing me. All right, so most people wouldn't blow $16,000 on a real antique sword from ancient China, let alone a virtual sword for a video game set in ancient China. Not only did a man cough up enough cash for a mid-sized sedan, he did it for a game that's not even out yet. Age of Wulin, soon to be released in mainland China by Snail Games. The game is a fantasy MMORPG, not unlike the immensely popular World of Warcraft. Oh my god, alright, so buying virtual gold and other items in MMORPGs is common. I'll never admit to doing that. A study released earlier this year valued this virtual economy at $3 billion, with 1 in 4 MMORPG gamers spending around $369 each year on virtual swag. Of course, $369 is pretty far south of $16,000. Oh, my God. According to the UK-based Daily Mail, another gamer spent $1,600 for the Hook of Departure, while someone else dished out $2,500 for the Lordly Spear of Sheath. Oh, my God. The game is not even out yet, and you spent $16,000. What if the game gets pushed back? What if the game never comes out at all? You just spent $16,000.
Well, if people keep spending money like that, the game will be out and then some.
No kidding, $16,000, you could have bought an internship or something.
You know what, I can't say that either. I know of a game company here in Houston who got picked up by I want to say Introversion, the people who made one of my favorite games, the Uplink Hacker Elite. Uh-huh. They got picked up, got a $30,000 advance, and then the head of the company took the money and ran. And yes, I was involved with this company. Hurt me deeply.
Not cool.
And the thing is, everyone there had talent. They had already made a casual game that was doing well. This is when casual games were first exploding. It's a very good casual game. Very, very good. Much better than some of the crap that's up on Facebook. And took the money and ran. I don't know why. Even his wife doesn't know why. 30 grand is not enough to be taking money and run, honestly.
No kidding. What's that going to get you? A nice car?
They can't even pay your rent for a year.
No, well, depending on where you buy a house in the South, that might buy you a nice house, but...
You still got to pay property taxes. Well, I just don't understand.
Yeah.
And he had a nice house, so I really cannot figure out what was he doing with the money. And, again, one would think because he had this nice big house, maybe he would take it and start paying the mortgage. But, no, he left everybody. He's gone, disappeared, took the money.
What is wrong with $30,000? That's not going to get you far.
Mm-mm. And if I was his wife, when I find him, I am stomping a mud hole in him. Okay.
No kidding. I mean, hell, even if you moved to, like, somewhere in South America, $30,000 ain't going to get you much.
Word. Mm-hmm. Word. All right. I found this lovely story from our peoples in the tech section on the CNN.com. Hello there. My man is in it. Oh, no. Well, those of you who are wanting to get in shape or ready for the next Legend of Zelda may want to take some fencing classes. There's supposed to be some very realistic swordplay in the Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword for the Wii console.
That's cool.
Now, in some games, the people or developers are looking into more photorealistic games, and that's from Shigeru Miyamoto. See, I know how to say that one. He's the famed game designer who created the Zelda series. He told CNN in a recent interview, "We make it so that you can feel as if you've actually shot the arrow with your bow." I love when they do that.
That is hot.
Yes.
You're talking nerdy to me.
Skyward Sword is not the first Zelda game for Wii. In its predecessor, The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess, players could swing their sword by shaking the Wii controller. But the sword would not respond directly to the way it was being held, which is true. Although Red Steel did. Whew, I'm going to have to pick that one up again and get my guns in ready for the summer. Okay, so they're saying adding realistic sword movement to Skyward Sword appears to be the winning formula. The game, which came out November 20th, sold to most of any previous Zelda game. Sold the most of any previous Zelda game on its first day and reached 600,000 U.S. sales in its first week, according to the NPD Group. I still have my Twilight Princess. Maybe I ought to trade it in for this one. Earlier Zelda games used some unusual hardware functions for controlling the characters, including rubbing a stylus on touchscreens, blowing into the microphone, and using 5 screens in one room to navigate. That's kind of hot. Sorry.
That is kind of hot.
Some of those ideas, of course, didn't stick around, but the precise movement translated from swinging the Wii motion and remote to the character's sword on screen will return, the Nintendo execs are saying. Many gamers see the Zelda series as one based around quirky adventures and puzzles. However, since the beginning, the games were supposed to have an emphasis on battling. Nintendo wasn't able to begin realizing this vision until 1998, when the available technology allowed for more realistic movements in The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time.
Ocarina of Time?
For the Nintendo 64, the one I never got to finish because some trick stole my N64. Mm.
Oh, wow. You didn't hunt them down and stab them?
I could not find them. They stole my Nintendo 64, my original Nintendo Atari 2600 that I had bought another one. Listen, I'm hurting. Let's not talk about it anymore.
That is not cool. That is not cool, people.
It most certainly isn't.
Doing stuff.
Most certainly.
Shank you. Ooh, shank you again.
Well, Eiji Aonuma, who directed his first Zelda game a decade ago and produced the most recent game, has said he expects future games in the series to use the type of precise sword controls from Skyward Sword. He says, I honestly think we cannot go back to the button controls now. He's right, because I can't imagine playing Zelda without being able to swing at it now. I like the... When you want to cut somebody, I want to cut them. Okay, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can go over and check that article out at CNN, or if you have Skyward Sword, let us know if you like it. Because I'm thinking about trading in my Twilight Princess and getting my guns in order.
Yes, yes.
So my arms can be all gorgeous by the summer.
I think I remember something about this rumor, but I'm not for certain. At least I'm not for certain if it went this far ended up.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, we were talking about that people who were going to get the iPads for Christmas to wait. There was a new iPad coming out.
Oh, we did tell them.
We did tell them. What we didn't tell them, and what there's a rumor going around today, there's not just one iPad coming out in January. There are two coming out in January. All right, so Apple's next iPad should see the light of day at last in January. Of course, the word is Apple is planning a smaller 7-inch iPad. That's a no doubt after the rumors source backed away from the claim. DigiTimes now says that Apple will unveil two next-gen iPads at iWorld, formerly Macworld Expo, on January 26th. Expect the new models to complement rather than replace Apple's iPad 2. I just lost the place. You shouldn't scroll. Should never scroll. All right, so GT Source says, describing the move as an attempt to broaden the iPad 2 series by introducing an entry-level, mid-range, and high-end lineup. In this scenario, a price-reduced iPad 2 would square off with Amazon's Kindle Fire, which, you know, I hear a lot of people groaning about, while the two models would target the mid-range and high-end market segments. That means that the prior claims that Apple was planning a 7.85-inch iPad are off the table. DT says that the new iPads will be 9.7-inch models like the iPad 2, but step up resolution-wise to 2048 by 1,536 pixels or QXGA quality. You can also look for Apple's faster quad-core A6 processors in the new iPads, 8 and 5 megapixel cameras in the high and mid-range models, respectively, dual LED light bars to make panels brighter, and batteries with capacities as high as 14,000 mAh. All right, so iPad 2's battery is only about half of that. So we're looking at something that's going to be, at least the high end, twice as powerful than the iPad 2. So two iPads. In January.
Well, good luck. I'm keeping the one I got.
I don't have one yet. I'm still kind of grumpy with Apple over my incident with an iPhone. So I'm not for too certain if I even want one of these. If they fix the bugs in the Kindle Fire, though, at the same time, it's kind of one of those. Why? I've got my NUC. I'll say it correctly. I've got my NUC. I've got my phone. Why would I need one of those?
True. There's really not, especially as a gamer, not much you can. Well, yours has all the. It has like a word pad and all that stuff.
Yeah, got all that fun stuff. Why would I need one of these iPads?
To show off, because that's what people think they're supposed to do.
No. If I want to get something next, it'll be a laptop. I've got my heart set on that $4,000 laptop, the gamer laptop, the mini. Oh.
All right, here's an interesting tidbit, technology, because we kind of try to encompass it all. This is one you are probably going to go, when I tell you. Apparently, the company Kraft, you know, the one that makes all the cheesy macaroni, those type of things.
Really? That company?
This company. Wait, I haven't told you what they did yet. Wait.
I'm sorry, anything to do with Kraft macaroni and gaming has my head going, what?
I didn't say gaming, I said technology.
Oh, technology. Okay.
Those people are releasing a adults-only vending machine.
Why?
It's not that kind of adult stuff in it. It's teaming up with Intel to unveil a new high-tech vending machine that doles out free samples of Jell-O Temptations desserts, but only if you're a grown-up, because you know the kids will be over there every 2 seconds.
How does it know if you're a grown-up?
Well,
you have, like, your DNA or something?
I'm about to tell you. It's supposed to use a little camera. and anonymous video analytics to determine other things like your age and your height. So baby faces will be backing away from the machine. So if you are a short person, you're ginger, you have ginger's face, you can't get any free samples of Jell-O.
I do not like this idea. This is not cool.
According to some statistics, this particular company spends about $1 billion a year on samples. That's probably why they're saying they want to streamline things so they can ensure their products are reaching the right target audience. Because if you put them in the stores, you people have seen the people in the stores that come in with the six kids and they're giving away samples, and all the kids need like five or six samples, and then the parent doesn't buy whatever it is they're sampling. So it's kind of a waste of money. I understand the money behind it, but I do think this machine is neat. However, it is a little creepy. It's saying it's anonymous analytics for one. Nobody wants to get people taking anonymous photos of their kids. But I do see it being used elsewhere. Because remember, I told you in Japan, they got everything in vending machines: pizzas, cell phones,
used panties.
Don't ask Ginger how she knows this.
I'm the queen of the internet. I have seen it all.
So we're over here, you know, behind the times. They got all kind of cool stuff. I am dying to go to Japan just so I can order a pizza from a vending machine. I don't even know if I'm gonna eat it, because you know how I have my little thing about if I can't see inside that it's clean, I'm not gonna eat it.
Yeah.
But I still would order it just so I could see it being made and it come out. I'd probably give it away.
Well,
but
I remember living. I lived out in the boonies, so I couldn't actually order it. But I remember friends, when I played EverQuest right before I quit, they had that service where you could order from Pizza Hut inside the game.
I think they still do, don't they?
I don't know. I've not played EverQuest in forever. And I live out in the boonies. So.
I'm hurting my heart, Ginger. You know I can't play. I can't play EverQuest.
Oh, she's going to cry. I don't want to play that old game anyway.
I do. I miss it. Don't you? Don't act like you don't miss it.
I miss it some. Yeah. All right. I miss it a little bit.
You miss it a lot. Admit it.
I miss Arcade Camelot even more.
You're making me. I'm having some gamer cravings today. I actually was craving a Facebook game just a second ago. Just a Facebook game. Nothing in particular. Just a Facebook game.
Well, you gotta be. Yeah, you gotta be my friend over at what is that? Pub Life? Yeah, Pub Life.
Oh, I'll find you. Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay, so an epic fail. Epic fail. I love epic fails. It's so hilarious. GamePolitics.com this morning. Lawmakers support SOPA while staffers download illegal files.
Yeah. We mentioned that before with some other company. Wasn't it some other company?
Yeah. It was actually some video company. It was like Time Warner or something, wasn't it? Warner Brothers, maybe?
I cannot remember too much.
All right, so while lawmakers, I cannot talk apparently, while lawmakers are arguing over SOPA and Protect IP, two bills that could change the way the internet works in order to fight piracy, it seems that many staffers on Capitol Hill are spending a lot of time downloading movies, TV shows, music, games, and books via BitTorrent. Oh, my God.
Research. Business research.
Apparently.
That's what you're
going to say. Mm-hmm. According to a report from Torrent Freak, over 800 IPs that originate from Capitol Hill are at the BitTorrent trough. Where is my spot? Don't scroll. Even as they write laws against illegal downloading and file sharing. Using youhavedownloaded.com, Torrent Freak has found that over 800 downloads that show everything from adult self-help books to TV shows and movies that are being snapped up and shared. They only list a few of the 800 hits they found on the You Have Downloaded, which represents only a fraction of the total downloads coming from that location, since the site only tracks a limited percentage of total BitTorrent traffic. As Torrent Freak points out, this is real and confirmed data that is just as good as evidence used by the RIAA when they sued tens of thousands of people for file sharing. You can get those downloads by visiting Torrent Freak. Once again, those that support these kind of laws seem to believe in the old adage, do as I say, not as I do. Can I stab you people in the face now? Please, 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 please.
Go ahead, stab them. Go ahead.
Stab.
Go ahead, stab them.
Stab.
No, not enough, Ginger.
I know, but they're not actually close. I need them close by.
Oh, we can take care of that. Oh, my gosh.
I love Ginger. See, Nikoi appeals to my tonight.
Your dark side.
My dark side. I told somebody about that yesterday.
Shh. Okay, let's be good. All right, so.
I want to be.
You have to be.
Aww.
Okay, so apparently, some of you are listening because we tell you stop complaining and do something. Well, Moms with Apps decided, okay, we hear you, Girls of Gamer Girls Radio. They are launching their own apps with ideas that spark in living room labs. Moms and dads are capturing great ideas, yes, and turning them into digital playgrounds. There's a couple of companies that are doing this. I'm going to tell you who they all are, and we will try probably to grab one of them. It is the first of the year. We probably not going to get a hold of anybody. Everybody's playing or something with new toys. However, let me tell you about a few of these apps made by parents. Mm-hmm. And it's appearing on the Moms with Apps blog if you want to, you know, you got little ones or you, you know, that type of thing. You want to go over and check them out. The name of the game is Murky Reef, or the app is Murky Reef. And the theme is about a coral reef and its sea creatures. And that's all I'm going to tell you. It's supposed to, I'll tell you a little more. It's supposed to work like an interactive book explaining the coral reef ecosystem, the creatures that live in the reef and their interdependency and their top predator in the reef. Sharks. Anyway. You also got one called, where is this? Speech with Milo. I like it. It's adorable. It's got a mouse. It's a mouse. He's so cute.
Speech with Milo?
Yes.
Wasn't Milo supposed to be that little boy with the Kinect?
Well, this one's a mouse. Apparently this one's doing very well on the iPod, whatever store. Uh-huh. What is it supposed to do? Well, it's supposed to help with a parent-teacher SLP collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of trying to run down these real quick to get. But anyway, Milo has six friends. Milo, Melvin, and Maggie are the main three. And it's
Maggie.
Yes.
That's a goofy name.
I like those names. I'm trying to see what else Milo does. Looks like he's mostly dealing with language and speech. Helping kids who have difficulty speaking or just working with little kids don't know how to speak either. If you think it's cute because they say, I wanted to go over there, and that's cute, but they need to learn how to say it the proper way, and some don't get that. So, good app. You got the Pirate Scribblebeard's Treasure and with Oscar.
Scribblebeard?
Scribblebeard.
Oh, my God.
So you can imagine what that's about. It's a lot of fun. They get to draw mm-hmm. everything, and the characters narrate the pages. And, yeah, so that's a good time for them. Where else? We got I Love Drawing Animals, again, another drawing app. Teaches them how to draw, actually. Animals, allows them, teaches them how to edit and save things to a book. Yeah. You also got Phonics Silly Sentences. This is what I was just talking about. Yes. It helps the kids learn how to pronounce or enunciate clearly. So it's supposed to be for the preschool, kindergarten, and first grade when you're first learning how to read, blah, blah, blah. And then you got your Go-Go Mango. These are adorable. Anyway, I'm not gonna read all of them. There's quite a few more. But they are adorable. Pop over there and check them out at Mom's why can't I remember anything today? Mom's with Apps blog. And try them out. I don't think they're all free, but I applaud the fact that they're doing this. Because so many of us complain about apps that are in the App Store and we don't do anything. No. I would if I had time. I do know this app that I am working on. I'm drawing it out in my book first. That the little marker thing, when I got lost in the woods, that will never happen again. I will never be lost in the woods again. I'm going to write the app. I don't care if you all buy it, if you download it. I don't care. It's going to be on my phone. I will never be lost in the woods again. You'll be like, where did we come in at? Over there. We need to go around this curb. It's right there.
Fair
I'm looking
enough.
At my phone.
Fair enough.
Right there. No. Tell me to get lost in the woods. Anyway, that upset me. That I couldn't find an app that would help with that. So I'm going to write it. I'm not going to share it. Well, I'll share it. I'm lying.
All right, GamePolitics.com. And since we're talking about moms, this kind of has to do with moms.
Uh-oh.
Konami, what were you thinking? Tokyo High Court punishes Konami for maternity leave discrimination.
Oh,
yeah, not good. Not good. Right. So the Tokyo High Court has ruled in favor of an ex-Konami Digital Entertainment employee who sued the company for discriminating against her. Yoko, I'm going to kill your name. I'm sorry. Sekiguchi? Sekiguchi, alleged that Konami demoted her because she took 6 months of maternity leave in 2009 and slashed her salary by 200,000 yen.
Ooh.
Ouch. The demotion and pay cut happened when she returned from maternity leave, she claimed. According to the plaintiff, Konami blamed Sekiguchi's childbearing burden for its actions. Japanese law allows mothers to take up to 14 weeks of paid maternity leave, at 60% salary, and up to 1 year of unpaid maternity leave. Sekiguchi says this is discrimination aimed at female employees who choose to take maternity leave. She said this 2 years ago. I decided to take legal action because fellow female employees are experiencing the same type of treatment. While Sekiguchi won the court battle, the company was ordered to pay 950,000 yen, $12,000, in damages. Sekiguchi was seeking 33 million yen, $422,000, in a lawsuit.
That's not good.
Yeah, Sekiguchi says, I want the company to be a place where people don't have to choose between two alternatives, career or kids. While at the company, Sekiguchi negotiated various licensing deals for the Pro Evolution Soccer Winning 11 franchise. Mm. You know what? You people, I just want to slap you. Where do you think we're going to get our next generation of gamers? Where do you think we're going to get our next generation of developers? Oh, yes. Yes, yes. They got to come from somewhere.
They're in the bellies.
They're in the bellies. Yeah, I was going to say something else. Yeah, they're in the bellies. Yeah, it was daytime radio. I was trying to think of something else to try. In the bellies. In the bellies is the nicest way to say it.
So you say it that way in the daytime.
Yeah, later tonight I'll say it much differently.
Okay, so Blizzard, who still denies any hacking.
Blizzard, I hate you, Blizzard.
Of course, you know Blizzard. Best known for that little game, World of Warcraft.
I've never played that. No, never played. Never, was never addicted to that. No.
Nope, never. They have apparently earned around $26 million on their security authenticators to date. Have you ever used one of those?
Oh, my God, I'm muted.
Uh-huh.
Yes. I had one on my iPhone.
Ah, well.
Sure, you've got it on your iPhone.
Oh, okay. Well, this, if you don't have an iPhone, the security authenticator for World of Warcraft is basically a little keychain edition that allows for extra security for your account. Its success speaks to just how much you players out there value your security, as well as how companies can innovate when typical account passwords aren't enough to withstand hackers. Apparently, it didn't work for them too well either because they, you know.
No, because I had friends that had the authenticators were still being repeatedly hacked.
Mm-hmm. And I haven't used my account in like a million years, but I'm still getting emails saying, come sign up. No.
Exactly.
We're hacked. Each time the player wants to log in, the security authenticator will send out a one-time six-digit numerical code that the players have to type in, along with their username and password to gain access to the game or account management. However, Blizzard doesn't just give out these little trinkets for free unless you want to download the app on your iPhone. You players out there have purchased them to the tune of $6.50 each, with around 40% of you WoW players actually using the added security device. Blizzard has made about $26 million on just them alone.
Oh, wow.
Players have been plagued in recent years by a number of hacking problems. In particular, World of Warcraft has been given a haven for Trojan attacks, specifically aimed to gather login details early on, which prompted Blizzard to release the security authenticators, helping players find extra comfort in the updated security. There aren't any actual numbers on how much it costs to make the device or amount of customer service hours saved, but as an added perk for players, they receive a core hound pup in-game pet for purchasing the device. You know what? We may have to talk about this again tonight, you people, and understanding the value of what a perk is.
Mm-hmm.
It is not a digital item that if World of Warcraft dies, it's just on the off chance, it dies in the next 2 years, this pup means nothing. It's gone.
Nothing. It is gone.
You can't take it with you out of the game or bring it with you into Second Life or into APB. It's just gone. So this is not a value. You guys got to stop paying for stuff. And I know we're ones to talk. We like digital shoes, but at least I'm not spending $16,000 on imaginary swords. I'm spending
$16,000 on imaginary swords. What the hell's wrong with you people?
I will not pay an extra $100 just to get an in-game sword. I will spend my 35 to 5 cents for some virtual shoes and enjoy them.
What I want to know is how much money have they made off those stupid sparkly unicorns? There are mystical mounts of stars or something. I forget what they're called. They're see-through, they're made of stars, and they're a horse. They look like Pegasus with a unicorn.
They got wings?
They have wings, and you can fly them and ride them. And people were paying $50 USD.
I think that the authors of all the Greek mythology stories need to sue, because that's a blatant ripoff.
Exactly.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. That's been the whole tune of everybody this year. I'm going to sue you because it was mine.
Yes, 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 yes. Who came up with Pegasus? Because, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mine. My family was in Greek. No, I'm kidding.
All right. All right. Half-Life players, calm down. Calm down. I know this is short, but let me tell you. Half-Life 3 rumors amount to community trolling, according to Valve. Yeah. There is no Half-Life 3. Calm down.
Ooh, brief.
All right, so things are going so well in recent months. The hopes of Half-Life fans rose a little bit thanks to what appeared to be, if you squinted real hard, that is, a mounting silent campaign by Valve that was apparently leading up to a long-awaited Half-Life 3 reveal. Yeah, turns out, not happening. All right, so who is this? Chet Falzak tells fans, you are being trolled. Yes, you're being trolled. There is no ARG. Wheatley's speech was set in Portal 2 fiction. That is all. There has been no directive from Gabe to leak anything. That is false. I just want to say this so there's no confusion. This is the community trolling the community. Nothing more. Well, it is nice to see people excited about anything Half-Life. I hate seeing people being trolled like this. Thanks. So calm down. There is no Half-Life 3. Just breathe.
They're going to be all right.
Breathe. Yeah.
They're going to be all right. All right, apparently somebody named Brody needs your help to become the master of the hoops. And in
master
hoops of glory.
Hoops?
Master of the
hoops.
Oh,
yeah, I saw that this morning.
Yeah, hoops of glory on the Apple iPhone. This is your chance to become the hippest hoopster in the hood. No, I'm going to need y'all not to do that again. Senqua Games, a developer of casual and social mobile games, is proud to announce the release of their newest game, Basketball. Hoops of Glory is now available for free on the App Store, and it is compatible with the Apple iPhone and Apple iPod Touch. Basketball Hoops of Glory is one of those rare and unique sports that not only appeals to the fans of the genre, but to the casual player as well, when its incredibly intuitive one-touch controls, crisp and refreshing graphics, realistic physics, and addicting gameplay, this game will bring fun and joy to anyone looking for a cool, casual basketball title. And, oh, God, somebody over there. This is another. Who wrote this? Who is these people? Yeah, I'm going to talk about it.
Big Corey's taking my line. Who is Brody?
Yeah, Brody, who goes by the name of Brodog on the street.
Oh, really?
And it's spelled D-A-W-G. It's just He has a dream of becoming this.
Somebody reach over and slap him.
Not just him, but the people who wrote it.
I know, right?
But he has a dream of becoming the hippest hoopster in the hood. And this wannabe star has chosen you. Yes, you.
Wait. The hippest hipster in the hood?
The hippest hoopster. I hate
the hoopster. Oh, in the, no. Still no.
Mm-mm. This wannabe star has chosen you. Yes, you, to be his mentor, coach, and aide to fame and street cred. Hoops of Glory is packed with features and includes multiple modes of play, practice, challenge, arcade, and time attack. Practice mode allows you to perfect your aim and rank up scores by intuitive touch and drag controls to adjust the path of the ball while releasing to shoot. Yeah, look here, people. It's free if you want to play it. I don't even know what to say to this. I have no idea what to say. I'm just shocked. I am appalled.
I just say step away from, whoever wrote this, no. Slap.
The hippest
laugh again.
The hippest hipster in the hood. Really?
Really?
Well, they thought they were doing something. But...
yeah. No. All right, so I guess it's my go.
Yes. You got 5 minutes.
All right, 5 minutes to save. Five minutes to save Stickman.
Is it 4 minutes to save the world?
Sure, why not? Tick Games aims to prevent a stick massacre and stick man rescue. So all I gotta say is Justin Timberlake and Madonna. Ew! Hand-drawn
Hey,
stick man.
I like that song.
I like the song, but like they're all like just about making out, whatnot. She's old enough to be his grandma. And
I'll say if you can get it, get it.
I guess so, right? Hand-drawn stick men to die horrible deaths unless players act heroically.
That's very
true. Bad. I just want to watch them burn. A new game was announced today in which countless innocent stick men will perish unless players do their heroic duty and rescue them. Developed and published by Tick Games, Stickman Rescue will be available in North America and Europe for the PSP and the PSP Minis, initially offered only to Europe PlayStation Plus subscribers on January 4th, 2012, and North American PlayStation Plus subscribers on January 10th. All other gamers will be able to download Stickman Rescue in Europe on January 18th and North America on January 24th. Oh my god, alright, so Alex Tickman, co-founder and VP of Publishing and Business Development for Tick Games, says, "I know I'm not the only guy who grew up drawing stick men on fire, falling off cliffs, and landing on spikes. Back then, I wanted to make a video game out of it. Today, we've made a lot of people's morbid stick dreams finally come true with Stickman Rescue. I am very upset with you, Alex, because this is not on the Xbox, nor is this on the PC, or able to be on my phone. I want to kill the stick man, too."
Cut him, didn't you? Cut him.
Yeah, I'm going to cut him. All right, so Stickman Rescue is an action arcade game in which players must pilot a futuristic troop transport copter as they fly through 30 dangerous levels filled with deadly traps in an attempt to rescue black stickmen. The evil blue stick minions are out in force with stick murder on their minds. Players must prevent their stickmen from being burned alive, smashed, decapitated, blown up, electrocuted, dissolved by acid, and other classic demises. To combat the evil blue stickman minions, zeppelins, paratroopers, and steamrollers, players can power up their copter with weapons like bombs, missiles, flamethrowers, and more. Of course, players could just sit back and idly watch their stickmen die hilariously horrible deaths, but then they wouldn't finish the level. What to do, what to do. Watch them die. Stickman Rescue has been rated T for teens, blood, gore, and violence by the ESRB. Peggy has rated the game 12+ for violence. For more information, there is a link, but you know what? GameNatrix.com. Go check it out.
Well, we only got a mere 2 minutes left, so I'm going to tell you, you know where to find us, GameNatrix.com, GamerCrossRadio.com, here on BT sometimes, anywhere. And of course, tonight we'll be doing our usual thing on Thursday, This Week in Gaming, so make sure you're there to listen. And then when we come back on the other side of streaming, I'm going to tell you why you, if you're with Verizon, Ginger, you should probably go now while you can.
Is that bad? Is that bad now?
Oh, there's something coming.
It's not good. Not good.
It's hidden in your contract that you don't even know about.
Verizon, don't make me sick.
Don't make me sick.
Don't mind me sick. Whatever, don't mind me doing it. Put on your boots and shoes and your leather jacket. I'm gonna be your girl tonight. I'm gonna make you a little pie. I'm gonna wear a boots everywhere. I'm gonna give you lots of. I'm gonna be your separate wife. You can cut me like a knife. I'm gonna wear my cherry red. I'm gonna give you lots of room in my bed.
All right. So as you know, we're probably going to cut off in a minute, so you may or may not get all of this lovely story.
She's so evil.
But I must tell you, there's been some leaked memo.
Uh-oh.
Details. Verizon is going to be charging you $2 to pay your bill.
What?
Yes. The only way to avoid this charge is to set up an auto draft or ACH.
I already do that anyways.
Well, some people don't. You know, they like to keep a tighter rein on their money. We don't want anything automatically coming out because things go wrong when it's automatically coming out. So a couple of years back, AT&T offered select customers a $25 prepaid MasterCard to switch their billing to overdraft. Soon, Verizon Wireless will be following in Sprint footsteps and charging you for every month that you aren't using the system. So you don't have choice other than, I'm going to change up.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's not cool.
No, that's not cool at all. For those who are unaware, Well, let me back up a little bit. Now, the tactical differences that are aside, the link memo shown over at Engadget, if you want to pop over. Yes, we got some people at Engadget. I haven't been over to them in a while. they have the little piece of the memo, and the reason why I want you to go there is because I don't have Verizon, Ginger.
Verizon.
The memo says the details that is shown in the memo has to be one of the most consumer-unfriendly policy changes since the carrier boosted its early termination fee for advanced devices, meaning if you had an iPhone or something like that, you tried to leave, oh, you're going to pay dearly. This particular little tidbit is going to go into effect or will be effective as of January 15th, so any customer that opts to pay their wireless bill online or over the phone will be charged an extra $2 a month, and the only way to sidestep it is to sign up for auto pay or to pay by electronic check where there's no credit card fee passed on to the carrier. Mm-hmm. Now, for those of you who do not know what that is, auto pay automatically drafts the most recent amount from either a linked checking or savings account or credit card on file. And, while it's nice to get a better control on when you're getting paid, charging people is ridiculous. If anything, you should be telling them, if you use this, we'll knock $2 off of your bill, not enforce it. That's how you get people to do it. Your bill is $65 a month, we'll knock $2 off if you do automatic debit or automatic things. You're punishing your customers for those who are like, you know, you're not going to give us our money automatically. We're just going to punish you. You're going to pay extra $2. Not just that, but even online.
That's not cool.
Even online. So I just saved you money by not having to call in and tie up mm-hmm. your lines, and you're still going to punish me.
Somebody needs to be smacked.
Yes, they do.
Smacked again.
And, of course, some of you, here's the worst part of it. You know the Verizon network, for the most part, if you use for internet, has been down during the holidays.
No, I've not noticed that. All right. GameStop. I'm not really much a fan of GameStop, but you know, hey, I'll talk about you. GameStop declares iOS trade-in program a smashing success. In a press release issued this morning, video game retailer GameStop trumpeted the success of its iPod, iPhone, and iPad buyback trade-in program.
Who? GameStop.
GameStop. The company claims that in the months since it began accepting trades on iOS devices, it has seen strong consumer enthusiasm for the program because nobody likes you, Apple. GameStop customers trading in an iPod Touch get up to $180 in cash or in-store credit, up to $300 for an iPhone, and up to $400 for an iPad. GameStop President Tony Bartel says the velocity of this trade program has exceeded our expectations. We expect to see strong post-holiday traffic as customers trade in older models that we replaced that were replaced by gifts. GameStop says that the success of this program will expand the availability of GameStop refurbished devices for sale in select stores and online at GameStop.com. The company did not divulge just how many iOS devices had been traded in nationwide in the last few months. All right, so if you want details on the iPod, iPhone, and iPad trade-in program, can check out GameStop.com/iTrades.
I want to say that they're probably not doing as well as they're letting on because, you know, when they've done well, they have no problems dropping the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Apparently, some of you out there were very excited about the PlayStation Vita, or at least not here in the States. Well, maybe they're not as excited. I'm sorry. I think I read this wrong. Okay, so sales of the PlayStation Vita portable gaming system in Japan have dropped sharply in its second week on the market, according to sales data from MediaCreate and translated by NeoGAF. The PS Vita sold an estimated 72,479 units Christmas week compared to 324,859 units sold in the previous week. That's a drop of nearly 78%. The Vita was outsold by older portable devices like its predecessor, the PlayStation Portable, and the Nintendo 3DS, which has now sold over 4 million units since its debut last year. Oh, wow. While these figures are certainly disappointing for Sony, they may confirm what analysts have been predicting for some time, that the portable gaming market is shrinking thanks to the rise of tablets and smartphones. It says there will always be a large and significant market for dedicating portable gaming, but we do believe it's a shrinking category that will eventually plateau to a sustainable market size for at least two competitors. The Vita's lackluster second-week sales could also be attributed to its price. The Wi-Fi model costs 24,980 yen. That's about $320. While the 3G Wi-Fi model costs 29,980 yen. That's about $385. Wow. While the Vita hits store shelves in the U.S. this coming February, on the 22nd, to be more precise, it will cost about $249 and $299, respectively. Sony has been under pressure to cut its price since rival Nintendo cut the price of the 3DS to as low as $169 back in August, though this was due to an initial mediocre reception. Sony, however, is standing by its price point, like they did with the super expensive PS3, and then one day it'll go on sale when nobody wants them. Still, nobody wants them. We have a very good product at a very affordable price. This is what Sony's President of Consumer and Product Services, Kazuo Hirai, good God, he told Bloomberg earlier this year. He said there's no need to lower the price just because somebody else that happens to be in the video game industry decided they were going to. I'm glad he didn't decide to say something snippy, because that just would have been bad. There are some charts floating around. We do not, well, you know, we might have them. We get a ton of charts during the week, but I usually just focus on the games. We may grab some of these consoles in the coming weeks so that you guys can see how they're selling. If you like statistics, let us know. I'll post them up. Yes.
Yes, yes. All right. Fight, 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 and oh my God, your fight just got nerfed.
Fight.
GamePolitics.com this morning, Silicon Knights loses key witness in epic legal fight. I may have heard of this fight. Sounds familiar. Silicon Knights has suffered a major setback on its ongoing legal battle with Epic Games over its Unreal Engine 3 licensing dispute.
Give it up, you guys.
Yeah, I know. A judge has granted Epic a motion to exclude an expert witness's testimony and reports that were considered key to SK's case. The witness in question was financial analyst and accountant Terry Lloyd, who argued on SK's behalf that problems with Epic's Unreal Engine 3 licensing and functionality caused more than $58 million in damages to Silicon Knights. Ontario-based Silicon Knights brought in Lloyd to offer an expert opinion on damages caused by issues with the Unreal Engine 3, with the developer claims caused a two-year delay and low sales of its 2008 game Too Human for Xbox 360. Could be your game just sucked, dudes.
Right?
SK filed a lawsuit in 2007, alleging that Epic failed to provide a functional version of Unreal Engine 3 because it was too busy developing technology for Gears of War. Epic filed a countersuit at the time, denying that it promised to deliver a fully operational version of the engine within 6 months of the Xbox 360's launch. Silicon Knights further claimed that during the licensing agreement negotiations, Epic made false representations concerning the licensing agreement and functionality of UE3. All right, so pretty much you're saying, you know what, your stuff didn't work, so that made our bad game even worse. In opposing Lloyd, Epic described him as unqualified and filed a motion to exclude his testimony. Further, they called his estimates unreliable, speculative, made up, and uninformative guesses. All right, so James Dever.
Look, I'm over here cussing, but nobody can hear me because I'm muted. I'm like, straight.
North Carolina Chief District Judge James Dever III agreed, taking issue with how Lloyd calculated potential sales for Too Human and the value of the rejected projects. Silicon Knights negotiating with publishers such as Capcom, THQ, Vivendi, Namco, and Sega. No, dude, your game sucked, and you should have realized this before you released it. That something was wrong. And yet you pushed forward and you released it and it didn't sell very well and now you're trying to sue? No. You should realize far before you ever released it that something was wrong and gone a different direction. You didn't. It's your own fault. Suck it up.
Oh. Uh-oh. The gauntlet has been thrown down.
Uh-oh. What's going on?
All right. This actually came out later yesterday over at our People's Adventure Beat. McAfee released its online security threat predictions for 2011, predicting that much of the hacking drama that started in 2011 will only grow in the new year. So when technology evolves, so do cyber criminals' tactics for compromising new software, hardware, online accounts, and more. Whole conferences such as Black Hat and DEF CON conferences in Las Vegas focus on how people are able to gain access to our machines without permission. But 2011 was filled with beginnings of a new breed of vigilante hacker, as well as the new world of mobile devices to breach. McAfee is predicting in 2012 will boast internet warfare, governmental displays of cyber strength, and breaches from hacktivists, but not the same faces we've seen this year. Or perhaps we should say the same Guy Fawkes face. Anonymous, along with LulzSec, spurred the hacktivist movement this year with high-profile attacks on companies such as Sony, a number of law enforcement agencies, and government websites such as Syria's Defense Ministry. Most recently, the group hacked think tank Stratfor, obtaining and publishing thousands of credit cards. But Anonymous is a new type of cyber criminal group, and one that may be hard to define. Really, Anonymous is just a collection of individuals who all use the same anonymous title. And see, that means they already know who you are. Be afraid. Individuals decide on an attack they'd like to execute and become their own leaders and organizers for the group that decides to help. There is no overarching – weren't you just talking about this? No overarching leader.
I was just talking about that this morning.
Indeed, one anonymous member told VentureBeat that the group's leaders are really just bullhorns, which is the same thing that they told us when they stopped by. What projects are truly considered of Anonymous is even debated within the community, such as declaration to take down Facebook on November 5th, which never realized. We said that wasn't going to happen. perhaps because of its lacking internal structure, McAfee is saying they believe that the community will either reorganize itself or disband completely, similar to LulzSec. Soon after the spring attacks on the Sony PlayStation Network, this hacker collective bowed out of the game, some member probably joining Anonymous. McAfee believes that we'll see more Anonymous members come out of the digital shadows and join protests against politicians, law enforcement, and other agencies. This was seen in August when the collective drew members of the Bay Area communities to protest the Bay Area rapid transit system over BART police shootings earlier in the year.
See, that's the main issue, though. A lot of these guys and girls are not going to be able to step out of the shadows because they are wanted criminals here in the U.S. for the things that they've done.
Yep.
Step out of the shadows, you're going to prison.
See, this is I'm going to save this for later, what I'm going to throw in there. Exactly what you were talking about, I will point out to them, you anonymous people, the difference between you and the people that protested before, the biggest difference. They said it's probably more likely that the group will reorganize or see sex branch out, the die-off altogether next year. Anonymous isn't made up of individuals who all want to dox or reveal personally identifiable information on the internet. Instead, many of these people prefer disrupting a website service or systems to prove a point. Now, these may be people who branch off, leaving those who wish to publish personal information to fly the anonymous flag. Another issue in 2011 was the onslaught of mobile malware. You read everywhere about smartphones and how they were becoming essential to our everyday lives. But with the proliferation of these devices comes illegal, lucrative opportunities. This year, Lookout Mobile predicted, and I do have on my phone Lookout, thank God. I'm not saying it can protect me from everything, but you're not just going to get me. they predicted that mobile malware would become a profitable business in 2012 and will be focused on Android devices. Yes, our lovely Androids are at target. According to the mobile security company, mobile criminals took 1 million away from Android consumers this year. 1 million. This was achieved through schemes such as RooFraud, which charges people for premium text message using a bogus application posing as a real one for bait. Malicious advertisers may also play a role in mobile scamming as browsing and buying becomes more popular on the go. Malvertisements will be found outside the browser as well. I've noticed some of those, and they look the same as they do when they're on the internet and they're bad, so I don't know why people are clicking on them. Like there's one that keeps popping up that says, you have 3 missed calls. If I did, my phone would have rang. You know, when I'm browsing on the internet, no, I don't have 3 missed calls. I don't need to click this. You're trying to get me or get me to click on something. No, I'm not. Anyway, guys, this is going to be interesting this year to see if what McAfee is predicting is true. And if they try to go after McAfee, it would be interesting as well. Put it this way. Some applications are saying may support the bad links right within its user interface. Lookout says applications most likely to be affected by this kind of scam are utility apps such as flashlights, gaming apps, and porn apps. So be very, very careful how you get your stuff. If you have a flashlight app, which we did tell you probably need to have during the holiday season, if it's popping up over your flashlight saying you have 3 missed calls, you know not to click on that, don't you, right?
Mm-hmm. I would hope you would.
Some of you don't. Anyway, we got to go.
We do. Look at that.
Yes,
it's time to go.
We got to go. We will be seeing you guys later on tonight, where we will be talking about some of these lovely points. Probably this one will be a big one that we discuss. Because, Anonymous, we have some bones with you.
Yes, yes. And some of you should be really thinking about this. It's a little bit scary.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why people click on stuff in their cell phone because, oh, it's safe. I'm holding it in my hand. There's nothing that could happen to it.
No. No, not so safe.
Unless you have a bionic hand that that blocks hack, no.
Bionic hand? Nah. Okay.
Oh, man. GLaDOS has us, so we're just going to go. Ginger, tell them people bye.
Later, boys and girls. Mwah!